On today's program, we'll continue our look at Mother Teresa's relationship with the Blessed Mother. Plus, we'll take a look at today's Mass readings. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hello and welcome to the Sunday edition of the Gary Zimak Show. We are entering day 17 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And yes, we have now crossed the halfway line. We're at day 17. We've got 33 days halfway done. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And when we talked about this at the beginning of this this 33-day retreat, it seemed like it wouldn't go that fast. It seemed like it was going to be one day at a time, and we looked at 33 days going right through the weekend. And it seemed like it was not going to be an easy thing. But look, we're over halfway through. Today we will talk about Blessed Mother Teresa and her vision. Continue to look at her vision of 1947. And specifically, we'll also address her relationship with the Blessed Mother. And because today is Sunday, we're going to look at our Sunday Mass readings today. I think we should have time to do all that. I'm really glad you could join me today, and I thank you for your perseverance, for sticking with this. Let's see what we have here. Today is day 17, so we'll look at another aspect of Blessed Mother Teresa's spirituality, and we will be looking at her life right up until Friday. Friday we will begin the fourth and final week, really, of our preparation with a look at St. John Paul II. And of course, we have 5 days for review at the end of that. But look, we're really getting there. And I hope you're enjoying this consecration preparation. And as I mentioned on the program yesterday, if you feel like you're not making a perfect preparation, join the club, because none of us will make an absolutely perfect preparation for total consecration. We're going to do the best we can, though. That's really all we can do. We're going to do the best we can. And then if we need to do it again, or hopefully we will do it again next year to renew our total consecration, we'll do an even better job. And that's how it works. If we do this every year and try to do the best we can, we will eventually get very close to our Lord with the help of the Blessed Mother. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. If you have any questions, as always, I'm going to say it again because I really want you to remember this email address. Please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I would love to hear from you. If you need anything at all, please let me know. I thank you for emailing me and letting me know what you think of the retreat so far. I'm getting a lot of good comments, which is a good thing. But if you're struggling, please let me know that too. As I've always said, I've said this in the past, I'll say it again, and I really mean it. I don't want you to quit without checking with me first. I really do. Because I think that so many times we want to quit for the wrong reason. Don't quit for the wrong reason. Make sure you check in with me first. If you don't think this is right for you, I understand that. I'm not going to force you to do it. I'll encourage you, but I'm not going to force you to do it. But so far, the comments that I'm getting this year have all been positive. Doesn't mean if you have a negative comment, you don't want to send it my way. Let me know if you're struggling. Because we have tackled some really good questions thus far, and I have a feeling we're going to get some more as we go forward. So gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to send the emails. I want to mention briefly, we are on the verge of a monumental event where I live. I live in New Jersey, right over the bridge from Philadelphia, probably less than 5 miles outside of Philly. As you know, the World Meeting of Families takes place this week, and our Holy Father, Pope Francis, will be visiting the city later in the week. Tomorrow, I'm going to go on 2 radio shows and talk about how the media is covering the arrival of our Holy Father and covering the World Meeting of Families. I'll be on Relevant Radio tomorrow morning. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Time. If you get a chance and you'd like to tune in, I'll be on the Morning Air Show talking about that. And then at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, I will join my friends Johnny Hebert and Jeff Blackwell and Gabby Chauvin. We're going to talk on Louisiana's Catholic Community Radio. I had to think about for that for a minute. I do that program every Monday I do the entire show every Monday with them. We'll do my Be Not Afraid segment as well, but I'll also be talking about how the city of Philadelphia is publicizing the arrival of Pope Francis. And I'll say, for the most part, this is a very good thing. This is definitely a very good thing. Now, you're going to have your spin on his arrival and the World Meeting of Families, and I'm seeing some of that. But for the most part, this is a really good thing. People are very excited about the Catholic faith. That is a cool thing, and you don't see that too much in the world today. We need more of that, so this is positive. So if you get a chance, you want to check out any of those broadcasts, you can do that tomorrow. But I'll be here again, God willing, and we'll continue on with our 33-day preparation for total consecration. So you can catch me right here as well. All right, let's pray, and then we'll start right in with Mother Teresa's visions of 1947. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day to love you, to serve you, and to be able to continue on this preparation for total consecration. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the gift of our Blessed Mother Mary. We thank you for this great gift of total consecration. We ask that you allow it to bear fruit in our lives. Help us to adequately prepare to make this commitment. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us so that we can continue to go through the remaining days in this preparation. And I ask you to speak through me this day and open our minds and our hearts so we can hear your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. And Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Thank you for tuning in to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and I've been doing this show on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years now, praise the Lord. And I thank you for listening. We've been doing total consecration for several years in a row. This is the fifth year in a row on the program that we are doing total consecration. In the fall, we start every year on September the 4th. And I'm really blessed to have you as a listener. I really am. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial contributions. I'm very grateful for all that you do to help keep this program on the air. Today we enter day 17 of our preparation, and I just briefly want to add, if you want to contact me and visit my website to see any of the resources that I offer, my books, my personal appearances, whatever, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. If you have emails, questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place. Day 17, the visions of 1947. We continue our week spent on Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And here's what Father Gately writes today. Several months after Mother Teresa first felt her call within a call, and we've talked about this over the past couple of days, she experienced three visions that further expressed her calling. In the first vision, she saw a huge crowd of all kinds of people that included the very poor and children. The people in the crowd had their hands raised toward her and were calling out, Come, come, save us, bring us to Jesus. In the second vision, the same great crowd was there, and this time Mother Teresa could see the immense sorrow and suffering in their faces. She was kneeling near Our Lady, who was facing the crowd. Although she couldn't see Mary's face, she could hear what she said. Take care of them. They are mine. Bring them to Jesus. Carry Jesus to them. Fear not. In the third vision, the same great crowd was there again. but they were covered in darkness. Despite this, Teresa could see them. Within this scene, Jesus hung on the cross, and Our Lady was a little distance away. Teresa, as a little child, was just in front of Mary. Mary's left hand rested on Teresa's left shoulder, and her right hand held Teresa's right arm. Both of them were facing the cross, and Jesus spoke to Teresa. I have asked you, they have asked you, and she, my mother, has asked you, will you refuse to do this for me, to take care of them, to bring them to me? Notice the role of Our Lady in these visions. She is there, helping Teresa to hear the desire of the Lord's heart and to see the suffering of the crowd. She is there as a mother with her little child. She is there facing Jesus and the crowd together. She gives comfort and support to Teresa, just as she did to St. John at the foot of the cross. Father Joseph Langford, co-founder of the Missionaries of Charity, Fathers, reflects on the meaning of these visions. Without Our Lady, we would be alone before the crosses of life, oblivious to Jesus in our midst. In times of trial, we are often like the poor in Mother Teresa's vision, covered in darkness, unaware that Jesus is there in the midst of us. Without the fidelity Our Lady gave to Mother Teresa, the world would not have heard these words, I thirst, or seen them lived out today. It turns out Our Lady was specially present to Mother Teresa, not only in these visions, but also during the original September the 10th grace. On the 50th anniversary of that blessed day, Mother shared something new. And she said, if Our Lady had not been with me that day, I never would have known what Jesus meant when he said, I thirst. What was Teresa getting at? What she meant comes to light when we reflect again on the Marian dimension of the March 25th letter on I thirst. Our Lady was, and these are her words, Our Lady was the first person to hear Jesus cry, I thirst, with St. John. And I am sure, Mary Magdalene, because Our Lady was there on Calvary, she knows how real, how deep is his longing for you and for the poor. Do we know? Do we feel as she? Ask her to teach. Her role is to bring you face to face, as John and Magdalene, with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. Before it was Our Lady pleading with Mother, now it is Mother in her name pleading with you. Listen to the thirst of Jesus. This passage gets to the heart of Mother Teresa's relationship with Mary, and nothing summarizes it better than this golden line. Our Lady's role is to bring you face to face with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. And, you know, if we're looking for a takeaway from today's material, I think that would be it. Our Lady's role is to bring you face to face with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. So, our Blessed Mother wants to bring us face to face with our Lord Jesus. That's her role. That's what she wants to do. Mary exists so that you and I can grow closer to Jesus. That's what we need to remember today. That's what we're trying to do. Ultimately, even though we are going through Mary, what are we trying to do? We are trying to grow closer to Jesus and get a better appreciation for his thirst, for his longing for us, for our love. And that's what Mary can help us to do. Now, today's prayer, come Holy Spirit living in Mary, bring me face to face with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. Earlier today, I was in RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. I'm involved with bringing new Catholics into the faith at my parish. And we were sitting around talking about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And it for many people, it's a cliche. We don't think that it's really possible. And what Mother Teresa is really getting at here is, and in the past couple of days in the material we looked at, is the importance of us really coming face to face with our Lord and experiencing his deep longing, even more than just love, even more than just love, his great longing, his thirst for us. And she wants to really bring that about. That's one of her goals. Now, our Blessed Mother can do that better than anyone else, because so many times we have a problem getting to know Jesus. It's not easy getting to personally know Jesus and to fully understand just how much he loves us and how much he longs for us. Many people have a problem with that. The Blessed Mother can help you with that task. It's a difficult task because there are a lot of obstacles. And I have a book coming out next year in February. It's called Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. I have struggled with this for a long time. The Blessed Mother is very much a reason why I have grown closer to Christ. And it's still something I work on, but I owe a lot to the Blessed Mother because she has really helped me to grow closer to our Lord. So today we ask the Holy Spirit living in Mary to bring us face to face with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. Now tomorrow we'll take a look. We'll continue our look at Mother Teresa, and we will look at the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We'll explore this idea of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then let's see, what do we have on Tuesday? Heart Pondering Prayer, a Consecration Covenant on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we wrap up with Be the One with Mary. Be the One with Mary. And then we start with St. John Paul II. Now, if you have questions, as always, please feel free to email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. But now here's what we're going to do. We have a little time. This is a luxury for me. I have a little extra time today. I want you to hear God speak to you. Remember, every time we open the pages of the Bible, God does speak to us. So today we're going to look at the daily Mass readings, all of which come from the Bible, and we're really going to let the Lord speak to us through these readings. These are the readings for Sunday of the 25th week in Ordinary Time, and the first reading comes from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the one be the Son of God, for if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." Now, it's very obvious that this is a prophecy, because this was written thousands of years before the birth of Christ, or several hundred years. I'm not sure the exact timing when this Book of Wisdom was written, but it's several hundred years before the birth of Christ. This was a prophecy stating what exactly would happen to the Lord. And we're going to see when we read the Gospel how it ties in. But for now, just look at this. This is our Lord speaking, talking about the just one being condemned to a shameful death and really being put to the test for his words that God will take care of him. Now, if we let the Lord speak to us through Scripture, as he does, the message is clear for each one of us. It's not just Jesus that would be persecuted. We will all be persecuted if we stand up for our faith. If we try to share the good news of Jesus Christ, we can expect persecution in life. But we can also expect God to be there with us. And this is what you and I need to remember. Because Jesus suffered and was exposed to a lot of serious persecution, we can expect the same thing. And he told us that. He told us that in the Gospels, that we can expect to be persecuted for our faith. One of the reasons that we would like to develop a good relationship with Jesus is because that we're going to need the help. We're going to need help when we go to share the good news. It's not an easy thing to do in the world to be a Christian, especially if you're going to be an active Christian and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You will get persecuted. So you're going to need strength, and the Holy Spirit will help us with that. So we want to grow close to the Lord so we really get the full amount of grace that we need to be able to share the good news. And our Blessed Mother will help that become, will help make that possible. She's going to help us draw closer to our Lord, and we're going to feel less threatened when it happens, when the persecution happens. Even though we will be, we can expect to get some kind of a pushback there. And the psalm today reminds us, Psalm 54, the Lord upholds my life. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer, hearken to the words of my mouth. For the haughty men have risen up against me, the ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life freely. I will offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness. So here's the reminder that the Lord will not desert us, especially if we're doing his work, if we're spreading the good news, if we're being the light in the darkness, which we're called to do. As Catholic Christians, we're called to do that. He's not going to leave us alone. He will uphold our life. Does that mean we're not going to experience problems in this world? No, that does not mean that. But what it means is that ultimately, we can live with the Lord forever in heaven. That's what we're called. We're called to share him with others. And no matter what anybody does to us, they can threaten us, they can even kill us in this life, but they still can't jeopardize the fact that we can live with the Lord forever in heaven. The second reading comes from the letter of St. James, chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? It is not from your passions that make war within your members. I'm sorry, is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and you wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. This is a reminder, this letter of St. James, this excerpt from the letter of St. James is a reminder that we often are ruled by our passions. We're driven by our passions as opposed to be driven by the Lord. How many times do we seek pleasure above all else? Now, there comes a time when pleasure and the Lord's will can match up, but that's not always the case. Ultimately, we want to serve the Lord even if it's not pleasant. And there are going to be times in life, as we saw in this first reading, there are going to be times in life where we're called to do things that are not especially pleasant, that don't especially feel good. And you know what it's like to be met with some kind of resistance or resentment when you try to do something good for somebody and you get persecution or some kind of a pushback. It's not a lot of fun. This is where we need the Lord. This is where we need to stay close to him. And this is where, believe it or not, we can even feel his peace. It's a supernatural peace, and it doesn't depend on things going our way. But it's a deep peace. We can still feel that peace if we stay close to Him. And that's really our goal. That's really our goal when we are trying to make this total consecration. We want to ask our Blessed Mother to bring us as close to the Lord as possible. Now let's look at the Gospel, and I'll tie them all up together. The Gospel is from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Jesus and His disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but He did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching His disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill Him. And 3 days after His death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question Him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, He began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, He placed it in their midst. Putting His arms around it, He said to them, "Whoever receives one such child as this in My name receives Me, and whoever receives Me receives not Me, but the One who sent Me." There's a lot going on in this Gospel. When we look at the beginning of it, Jesus talks about the fact, He tells His disciples that He would have to be handed over to men, they'll kill Him, and after 3 days, He'll rise from the dead. But what happened? They did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question Him. Now, we can look at this. First of all, we see the fulfillment of that prophecy. We don't see the actual fulfillment. We see our Lord acknowledging what the prophecy said is true, the prophecy from the Book of Wisdom, that He will have to suffer a painful death, that He will be condemned, but God will take care of Him. And God did take care. God the Father did take care of His Son, Jesus. Even though He still died, He was able to rise from the dead. And that's the reminder for all of us, that God the Father will take care of us in the same way. But that's the first thing. That's the first message. The other message is that Jesus said, He told the disciples what would happen, but they didn't understand the saying, and they were afraid to question Him. So the message for us is, what's the message? If you don't understand something, don't be afraid to question. You can ask the Lord. If you're going through this total consecration preparation and you're not sure about something, you can send me an email. You could do a little research. You could talk to your parish priest. There are a number of different things you can do, but it is a good thing, if you don't understand something, to ask a question. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you have a weak faith. It just means you have a question. The disciples probably should have asked a question, but as we read after that, they were busy. They were busy arguing about who was the greatest. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is telling them that He's going to be put to death and then rise from the dead, and they are so busy arguing about which one of them is the greatest, they don't even hear what He's saying. It's unbelievable. And yet, if we look at these guys, we look at these disciples, we realize that none of them really had anything to brag about. They were all a bunch of knuckleheads. But I think sometimes you and I do the same thing. We start to feel that we are in command. We start to feel that we're the reason that we're not sinning anymore. And we forget that it's really the Lord working through us, giving us the grace that we need to overcome sin. It's not us. But then Jesus talked about, He ends this with a very, very powerful message. If we wish to be first, we need to be the servant of all. In other words, if you expect to get to heaven, you're not going to do it by having people wait on you here in this life. You're going to do it by you going out and serving other people. And that's a really tough thing to do sometimes. That's why the help of our Blessed Mother and this total consecration is invaluable. Because serving others doesn't come easy sometimes. And we need all the help that we can get. And that's about all the time I have for today. God willing, I'll be back on the show tomorrow as we continue our look at Blessed Mother Teresa. If you have any questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. If not, I hope to see you back here tomorrow. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and relax. We are well on our way to making total consecration. God bless.